Hi everyone. I hope most of you are more or less set for D-Day, which is this Sunday. So I thought I should do a small
audio.
Let's see how small it will be.
Audio.
On what should you do on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 3 days, you know, leading up to the test, the 2 days leading up to the test, so that you can go ahead and on test day, you can be absolutely comfortable in terms of performing. Yeah. So the first thing, what should you do on Friday? Yeah. I'd suggest that on Friday, if you do not know where your center is, this is for everyone whose center is in the same city as you're staying. So suppose you're in Bombay or Bangalore and your test center is in Bangalore. Then on Friday, I think you should go and check out your test center. Right? This is absolutely important if you've never seen your test center, because we know that the one thing that you do not want on test day is any sort of uncertainty. Right? So you're going there, you're not able to find it on Google Maps and you're trying to search. All of this creates unnecessary pressure in the system. And what does pressure in the system actually mean? Whenever the system is under pressure, it depletes your energy, right? So you don't want any energy depletion on test day. So I would suggest on Friday, go check out the test center. You know where it is, right? In case, if those of you are taking the test in a city other than your home city, right? So you have to travel to a different city. Absolutely, no doubt in my mind, you should go 1 day in advance. So if the test is on Sunday, plan to reach there sometime around, say, Saturday afternoon, and then you can go ahead and see where the test center is. I think that is that much investment is something that you can do, given that it is a very important day for you. There have been many cases where students have, say, traveled overnight by train, exceptionally good students who are very, very, you know, confident of their capability in terms of cracking the CAT, and, you know, took an overnight train and reached on that day. And I met them this year as well, because they're, you know, retaking the test. Didn't happen last year. Yeah. So those of you, test day, test center in a different city, ensure that you're reaching 1 day in advance and checking out the test center. Same city, keep that task for Friday so that Saturday you have as much energy as you can and you're not, you know, wasting any energy. So that's the first point, checking out the test center. The next thing, what do you do on Saturday? So Friday, that's about it. What do you do on Saturday, the day before the test? The most important thing is the day before the test, Saturday is not a day for heavy prep. Right. So when I say not a day for heavy prep, does not mean you don't do any prep whatsoever, but you don't take any sort of a test. You don't take a section test. You don't take a full length test, because that again depletes a lot of energy being in a full test mode. If you want to do something, you can revise stuff. So you can go through a particular section, or you can review a section of a SimCat and everything. Overall, not more than 3 hours of preparation, and that too not more than an hour at a stretch. Right? So look at a quant section curve review if you'd want to, then go ahead, do something else for a couple of hours and then come back. Right? So not a day for heavy prep. And even when you're reviewing, don't be too intense on Saturday. Try to think of it as net practice, where you're just, and not intense net practice, where you just want to feel the ball onto the bat. That is all you'd want to do. It's like, say, small throwdowns where somebody is throwing the ball down and you're just, you know, trying to feel the ball onto the bat. Nothing more than that. Right? So that is what you should be looking at in terms of preparation. Right? The next thing on Saturday that you should be doing, limit your screen time. Right? You're supposed to stare at a screen for a long time on Sunday. So ensure that on Saturday, apart from reviewing any old SimCat or anything, you have absolutely minimal screen time. And by screen time, I mean both the laptop as well as the phone. You guys will do really well if you can switch off your phone for Saturday. Right? That is the biggest gift that you can give yourself before the CAT. Switch off the phone on Saturday, because finally it strains your eyes, right? And you'd want your battery to be 100% for Sunday, right? And the only way you can do that is if you switch off your phone on Saturday, right? So do that, and not more than 3 hours of screen time on a laptop spread out across, you know, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, right? Another thing, on CAT day, do not indulge in any sort of, say, CAT-related talk and prep-related talk on the various groups that you're in, WhatsApp groups, Facebook groups. It doesn't help, right? Talking itself is, you know, drains a lot of energy. And and what can you do on that day speaking to anyone on the last moment? Nothing can change, right? So on Saturday, cut out all cat-related talk with anyone, right? You would have a big peer group online, right? Whatever that peer group is, I don't think you will just be sharing your nervous energy. None of you will be reducing your nervous energy because of this in a chatter, right? So don't talk or engage with anyone with respect to cat-related prep. One thing that you can do is that you can meet and maybe talk to friends who have nothing to do with the cat. Right. So maybe you can, you know, give a phone call to that friend who's not preparing for that cat, for the cat, and just have a chat and yap, right? And crack, you know, whatever. I'm sure that any conversation between friends will always be fun. Or even say going and meeting somebody. That's also, as long as it's not too much of travel and stuff. Yeah. So you can call somebody over as well to your place to meet. So in essence, what I'm saying is that do something that relaxes you and has nothing to do with the cat, rather than something that, say, and without screen time, rather than going over the cat itself. Yep. So on Saturday, 2 to 3 hours of, say, spread out prep, meeting a friend with respect to, who has nothing to do with the cat, and no screen time and no cat talk. Right. So by this time, it should be evening. Have a very light, early vegetarian dinner. Right. So, you know, reasons for it, the later you eat dinner, the more difficult it will be to fall asleep. Yeah. So don't eat dinner later than 8 p.m. Right. By 8 p.m., finish your dinner, 8, 8:15, whatever it is, finish your dinner. Right? Eat a vegetarian meal simply because it will be easier on the stomach and, you know, you'll have a comfortable morning the next day. So because all of these things are small things, but they're important. So ensure that you do that. Yeah. Falling asleep. Some of you might feel that, you know, so falling asleep might be the biggest issue that I'd have on the night before. I'm really nervous. I can't sleep. Those of you who know for a fact that whatever you say, whatever I've said, or whatever you do, you cannot sleep on Saturday night, ensure that you put a night out on Friday. Put a night out on Friday. Don't sleep at all throughout Saturday. So that Saturday by 9 or 10, whether you like it or not, you crash. So you don't give yourself the option of, you know, not sleeping. If you go more than 24 hours without any sleep, you will crash, irrespective of whether, you know, you have insomnia or not, or whether you're nervous or not. For those of you who don't have those issues in terms of falling, you know that, yeah, you can fall asleep. It's not too much of an issue. Again, maybe the best way to even the slightest amount of nerves is just to fall asleep in a nice and easy way. Maybe the best thing to do is, you know, pick up a book, right? Even people who really love reading, right? At night, if you're in bed and you pick up a book, I'm sure that you'll fall asleep. Yeah. So at least that is something that you can do. Yeah. So sleep by 10-ish, not beyond that. And maybe this can be a good way. And to sleep well, as I said, do it, what you call, have a dinner slightly early. Now, what do you do on cat day, on Sunday? How do you, you know, what do you do in terms of, you know, dealing with that day? First thing, if you have a morning slot, right, one big thing, whether it's a morning slot or an afternoon slot, for a morning slot, student, don't think of your meal as breakfast. Think of it as the big meal of the day, right? This is very, very important, because our brains also need glucose only to function. It's not as if our brains function on something else, and when we're doing a physical activity, we're functioning on something else. 3 hours of absolutely intense test taking means that you need to have enough, you know, fuel inside the system, right? So have a really solid meal in the morning. It is not breakfast if it's your, you know, morning slot. I'll give you a small example. Many years back, me and a good friend of mine, Scrabbler, right? So both of us were sitting and we thought that we'll just open one of the old cat paper-based tests, a really tough one, and we'll try to solve the entire quant section, as many problems as possible, within a 60-minute time frame, just by looking at the problem on the screen and not putting pen on paper, just trying to solve it as much as possible orally. We did that for 60 minutes. Both of us did, you know, fairly well in terms of the number of questions. And when I got up after that, I felt extremely tired, and I was like, you know, we've not done anything much today. We've just been, you know, chatting about, and we've done this. Why do I feel so tired? And so he says that, when you really use your brains, you do feel tired. So I don't know whether he was taking my case or, you know, whether it was one of his witticisms. But yeah, so you do really feel tired when you do that. The last time I remember when I took the GMAT, it was in June 2017. I was working like crazy and working pretty long hours, and I had a late night. And then I went to take the test the next day in the morning. After stepping out of the test center, I was so tired. Literally, I felt like I had no energy inside me. And again, there were some work calls or some other call, and I was handling that call. And then I realized that I was talking as if the date was not Friday or it was, you know, Thursday, one day before. I had lost track as to what day it was. That was how much energy the, you know, test sapped out of me, because I was not, the battery was not full. Yeah. So that is, so hence having a really solid meal makes a lot of sense. For those of you who are in the afternoon slot, so have fruits for breakfast so that you don't want to have a heavy breakfast, or rather a moderately heavy breakfast, and then again you have to have dinner because you don't have that, have lunch because you don't have that much of a large window. You're not going to have lunch at one, right? So have, you're going to have lunch before you leave home. So ensure that you have a light breakfast in terms of fruits, and you have a solid, you know, more or less it would be a brunch only. Yeah. And on cat day, again, do not, whether it's a morning slot or the afternoon slot, the big meal that you're going to have, don't have meat, because it makes you feel really heavy, in the sense that more than rice or more than anything else, it's actually meat that, you know, sits very heavily inside the system. Right? So do not have that. Vegetarians, maybe something like a rajma chawal can be the best this thing, or rice and roti and veggies. If you're a non-vegetarian, have eggs. Maybe eggs are fine. You can have, you know, three eggs, that shouldn't be a problem. That should last you, you know, for the 5 hours roughly after you leave home that you'll be, you know, needing all the energy for. Yeah. Carry bananas just in case. Yeah. So you feel tired, you feel you need a bit of a boost, carry bananas. It always works better. No Red Bulls, absolutely. Red Bull or anything else, it just gives you huge immediate sugar release and spike. So you're prone to crashing because you get an immediate sugar hit and then you go down, right? So that is an absolutely bad idea. That's why if you see even say sportsmen, tennis players also, when they're tired, they have bananas. That is because it's more of a slow release energy that you need. You need sugar to be released into your system over a period of time and not an immediate spike. So carry bananas if required. Yeah. So it's that doesn't hurt. Yeah. So I hope the meal part is very, very clear. What do you need to do in the morning? For morning slot, no breakfast, one big meal. For the afternoon slot, fruits or something light for breakfast, and have a solid meal. Yeah. The next important thing that, or maybe the most important thing that you'd need to do, right? You need to reach on time. Now, this might seem like a very, very, this might seem like a platitude, right? Yeah, all of us know we, you know, need to reach on time. Yeah, you know that you need to reach on time. But there can be 10 different things that go wrong. For example, last year, a student, or before last year, a student said, you know, I said, what happened last year? He was retaking. He said, sir, you won't believe it. I was searching for a Ola or an Uber and I couldn't find one. And he said, I couldn't find one. There was no auto guy and I barely got to the, you know, test on time or whatever. I don't know whether he was turned away from the test also. But he said that completely spoiled things for me. Right? So the first thing, do not rely on Uber or Ola. Just think about it. In a city like Pune, for example, or how many people will be taking the cat? Roughly 8,000 people will be taking the cat, 8 to 10,000 people. Morning slot, about half of that, 4 to 5K. And afternoon slot, 4 to 5K. Now, if a large chunk of this, is actually relying on Uber and Ola, you can know what can happen to Uber and Ola, right, at that point of time. So don't completely rely on them. Either drive yourself or get somebody to drop you or speak to some auto guy at the junction or whatever to ensure that he is there at that time, right? So make some sort of an arrangement where you're not relying on an Uber or an Ola for you. And if you'd gone earlier and checked out the test center, you know how to, you know, go about the place as well. Do not trust, again, that's why check out the test center. Don't trust Google Maps. It need not, you know, work. More importantly, even if you do all of this, plan to reach well in advance, right? This is one of those traits that we have that is toughest to change, right? So there are people who always need to reach well in advance, and there are people who always somehow are used to reaching just in time. For this day, do yourself a favor and plan to reach well in advance, because there can be a traffic jam. So I remember I was, this was one of the years, I think 2014 or 15, I don't remember. So I rarely get the same city that I'm in. I usually get a different city. So in the last 6 years, maybe every alternate year, I've got the same city. Every other year, I've had to go elsewhere. One of the big reasons why I didn't take the test last year was that the year before, I was in Pune and I got the center as Nasik and I had to travel 7 hours and I didn't really, you know, like it at all. That is why I didn't take it, you know, last year. So one of the point I was making was that so one of these years I had to go to Bangalore, and I thought I'd reach on time, not well in advance, but on time. And I was on Banerghatta Road. And that is, Banerghatta Road is the road where I am, Bangalore is. You know, those of you who are from Bangalore, you know, would know that. Yeah. And there was a huge jam. It was a Sunday afternoon and there was a huge jam. And eventually, at a distance, because it was a huge and a pretty large college, from a big distance, I could see the college building. But the road ahead of me was jammed. And I actually got off the cab and I ran to the test center. I literally ran to the test center and reached the test center. I reached on time, but I'm sure that, you know, that is not something that you would want to do, right? So plan to reach not necessarily at the scheduled time that they have given. You reach slightly early, that doesn't, you know, hurt, right? Essentially, again, what you're doing is avoiding any sort of mishap or any sort of unfortunate incident leading up to the test, right? You want it to be as smooth as possible. Now, what do you do when you reach there during that whole waiting time? Right? Don't get chatty with the other people in the line. Yeah, so you wouldn't realize it. You're thinking that, you know, you're letting your nerves go, and it's good to chat. Again, that kind of disperses your concentration, and it also depletes a lot of energy. Maybe the best thing that you can do during that time is to just listen to some music. If you've seen Sachin Tendulkar anytime, say, you know, on the way on the team bus or any other time before the match, he'll just have, say, his earphones plugged in, right? That's the best thing. He could also be sitting and chatting with his teammates, right? But why doesn't he do it, right? Because you know that you want to conserve your energy, you want to be focused, at the same time you want to be relaxed as well, and hence maybe listening to music is the best thing that you can do, right? So do that. In terms of carrying books and opening those books and looking at formulae, if you'd have to do that just before, see, for a college exam, that is exactly what I would have done. I know that during my engineering exams as well, I would be looking at, because a lot of it is dependent on memory, right? So you have to do that time, but not for this. So I remember whenever I'd, the GMAT and the GRE are more comfortable exams in terms of a test center, you know, setting. The infra is good, you have great place to sit and relax. So I remember the three times that I've taken, say, either of these tests, or cumulatively taken those tests, I would be going sitting in that space and I'd be absolutely relaxed. I'd have, say, one foot over one leg over the other and I'll be relaxing, whereas all the rest of the people would have their, you know, one book GMAT guide and they would be opening and going through it. And I could sense that all of them are eyeing me like, you know, who does this guy think he is? How is he sitting, you know, with his leg, you know, one leg on top of the other, as if, you know, he lords over this place or something. But yeah, I knew that there is nothing that I can do then that would help me perform. Most of the stuff is done, right? So I distinctly remember the first time I took the GMAT, you know, I think one guy was looking at me thinking that, you know, who does this guy think he is? So I went into the test center and, you know, you go in one by one, and after that he had gone in. So after I came in and I was getting my, unofficial score report, he came out. So he just wanted to figure out, you know, what it is. So he looked at me and he's like, so how much did you score? I looked at him and said, you know, too bad, I'm not happy, and I got a 750. And I remember the look on his face, you know, okay, this guy really thinks something, that is something. Yeah, but all I'm trying to get at is that time, opening the book, studying, not a good idea. Listen to some music, that's always the best thing you can do, yeah. Another thing, maybe you can say, but how do we do this for, say, close to 90 minutes? Maybe a better thing to do, as you're getting closer to the test, to getting inside, is start thinking about the strategies you need to execute for each section, right? talk yourself into doing those things, saying that, okay, this is how I'm going to approach, you know, the VRC section. I'm going to do this selection. This is what I'm going to do. So keep talking to yourself about the things you'd need to do. Yeah. So after the verbal section, before you go into the DLR section, maybe a big, deep breath, and then going into that particular, you know, section, so that, you know, you have that. Yeah. Don't completely exhale and let go, but yeah, a big, deep breath before you go in. So talk to yourself about these things. Talk to yourself about selecting the right sections and managing yourself during those 180 minutes. So talk to yourself, you know, about that particular portion, right? As far as so till you enter the test, this is to ensure that you have all of these things absolutely, you know, covered, right? So that you're absolutely smooth, you know, going into the particular test. When you get into the test center, sometimes there can be a bit of, TCS has been pretty stable and solid over the last few years, there will be that odd glitch that can come in, right? So, for example, I was taken into, in 2017, I was taken into, or 16 rather, I was taken into one room to take the test, to do that registration process. And they said, oh, it's not working in this room, come to another room. So I had to rush there. So all of these things can seem, so something, some small mishap or glitch or something technical can happen. Just ensure, just know that it's fine, right? There's nothing that you can do. It's fine, right? So just, you know, ensure that any small glitch, nothing happens, right? Another thing, check your chair whether it has all four legs on it, right? Because in that same year, I was about to sit, but I saw that the chair had only three legs. One leg was actually missing. If I sat down, that would have been it, right? And I'm not sure as to how serious the damage, you know, could have been. Right? So things, a lot of it depends upon the team that is part of, that is organizing that particular center, and things can be very, very different. If you get a TCS Ion Center, I think nothing like it. It will be absolutely perfect. If it is a random college that you're not sure of, random engineering college, then be prepared for a glitch or two, right? Just psychologically be ready that, okay, something bad might happen. Yeah. So that once you step in, once the, you know, test starts, you know that you will be a bit nervous, you know, at the beginning. That will happen, yeah. But talk yourself to, just calm down and engage with the question as much as possible. The few things and surprises that can happen, I've discussed this in my blog as well, how to manage a 180 minutes. The CAT has been standard absolutely without any change for the past 3 to 4 years. That does not mean that the paper won't throw in a surprise. There can be a new question type. Maybe they'll finally decide that, okay, parajumbles are not a good idea whatsoever. Maybe we should have a, you know, different question type. Or they might decide that let's get rid of incorrect sentence in quest context and ask another question type, right? So don't necessarily spend the paper an initial time scanning the entire paper. If you can do it fast, fine, but otherwise don't necessarily need to do that. So if you encounter a new question type that is there, so you don't need to first say, check the whole thing, is everything fine? You know, the hands, legs, feet, eyes, mouth, everything is there. You don't need to do that. But in case you find a new question type, just ensure that you're reading the directions properly. And I think that you should read the directions for everything properly, even if it's a regular question type. So just ensure that you're reading, because you can maybe think it's a summary, right? But it can be a complete the passage. It'll look exactly the same, but it can be a complete the, you know, theme of the passage and not necessarily a summary question. So on verbal specifically, ensure that you're reading the question types, cut the directions just to be, you know, safe. You don't lose anything by that. And if you see a new question type also, all you need to do is concentrate a bit to figure that out as to what is it that they want to test. Don't necessarily decide to leave it en masse. Maybe you can leave it a bit for the end, but that need not necessarily be the right way to go about it. Don't freak out and leave that. Even if there's, say, three questions there, maybe one of them can be very, very easy. Yeah. So don't really expect a bit of a surprise. Expect a surprise. If there's no surprise, absolutely fine. Yeah. So sometimes they can be, when you go to the for the DILR section, for example, when you're going in there, ensure that without fail, you are doing that selection, right? You're doing that selection and you go in there absolutely, knowing that I'm going to do the selection first and I'm going to do that. Another thing is, set the target to solve 3 first, because 36 marks will easily get you 95 percentile. So don't, if you start with 5, then you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself right from the get-go. Do it, go at up at your normal pace only. But 3 is 95, 4 is 99, and everything above that is a bonus, right? So just ensure that you're not getting too frantic right at the beginning, because suppose you've set yourself at 5, right? And you are maybe taking a bit of slightly more time. You know that the set is right, but maybe because of nerves, you're not able to crack that. Right? Just something is happening. Don't freak out at that stage, right? If you're not able to crack a set, always think, either say the set, the selection is wrong, right? Don't restart the whole set, or look at the conditions, that unused condition. There might be that condition that you've not used yet. That might be the condition that opens the setup, for you, right? So again, DILR, you have to ensure that, you're selecting it right at, selecting the sets right at the beginning, and not freaking out if, say, one set is not opening up. The last thing you should do is flit from set to set. If you're flitting from set to set, and you're flitting from across 8 sets and trying every set for 5 minutes, by now you should know, you're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. Most importantly, once that DILR section is over, see, you can trust me that nobody is going to feel good after a DILR section, right? So unless it's an absolute sitter, and not just on the DILR section, say on any tough test, you won't really feel that, it was absolutely great. Right? For example, when I took, whenever I feel absolutely comfortable, that I've done really, really well, I don't get as high a percentile or as good a score as when I actually feel a bit under pressure. Because what happens is that I felt under pressure, but I've succeeded, right? So this, for example, on the GMAT, when I first took it in 2008, I came out thinking I did everything correctly. I felt absolutely fresh. I thought I did everything correctly, but I only had a 750. But the second time round, I did feel, and even in the mocks the second time round, when I was hitting those higher scores, I was actually feeling the heat when I was doing those questions. Right. So I was actually feeling that the heat, and when I came out, our score is good. That is because the test went to a higher level, and I was able to perform. And it did sap something and take something out of me. Yeah. So you're never going to feel great. That is a given, right? So after the DILR section, don't ensure that you do not know how the others have done. You do not know how bad it was, for the other people. Right? So just ensure that you're again taking a deep breath and going into quant. Don't carry any baggage from any section to the other section. On the quant, the only glitch that can happen is that, sometimes a square root might not render correctly, a pi symbol might not render correctly. Again, don't get flustered. Just pause and then look at and just try to figure out, is this a square root, is there a pi? This does happen on and off, right? So again, don't get flustered. Yeah, that. Now, the biggest question that everyone in the afternoon slot will be looking at: should I look at the reviews in the morning slot? Think of everything that we've discussed so far. Every single thing that we've discussed so far was geared towards you being calm and collected in the run-up to the test. Right, so you having an even temperament, not getting flustered, no uncertainty about test center. So we're talking about coming in that leading up to the test in an absolutely steady state. Now imagine if you're waiting to look at the morning slot reviews during all of this time, all of this effort will completely, all of this energy will completely get dissipated the moment you're frantically trying to look at the morning slot reviews. Right? Now, I would say there is absolutely no benefit in looking at the morning slot reviews. And I have a few reasons for that. And I'll tell you what the reasons are. Firstly, to know the exact difficulty level of the morning slot, right, you'd need to know how a wide range of people have performed across the series of test takers at different levels. If say somebody who's below your level is telling you how the test was, so that is not necessarily right. If somebody right at the higher end is telling you, higher end of the spectrum is telling you how the test was, that doesn't suffice. You need everybody across the board. You need a large cross section of data for you to know the exact level of the test, and a sample size as small as 30 people, that to evenly spread across different percentile levels is what you would require for you to know the exact level, which is one of the reasons why we also don't do that, because I can have a particular impression the moment I'm looking at the test, right? But that is not necessarily, there might be a change from that when I speak to my peers, right? So the other, all my colleagues as well. So first thing is, unless you have a large enough sample size, you cannot predict what the exact difficulty level is. Second thing, some of you might say, no sir, but I know that I usually score in this range, and I can speak to my friend who's also scoring in the same range and he's in the morning slot, and I can find that out. You can do that. Yes, you can speak to somebody there, but provided that person has managed to give you, take the test as well as give you a fairly good idea, he himself or she herself has performed well. Right. What if that person has not performed that well on that day? For some reason, the person did not necessarily click into full gear on test day. So you will feel that the test is slightly tougher than it actually is. And why do you want all of this information to change what your plans are? Because finally, it is your relationship with the test, right? Suppose you're good at logs and some more log questions turn up, right? It might be good for you. Whereas for another guy, there were many logs and that person is not really good at logs. So that can be a bad day for that person, right? So we don't really know, we can't really predict whether somebody else's experience will exactly get translated to yours. The third important factor is that no two slots can be absolutely identical, right? It is not possible that it will be absolutely identical. There will be some difference. One tougher RC passage and the game can absolutely be a different game altogether, right? One easier DILR set, suppose the DILR section, the morning slot was tougher, and one marginally tougher DILR set, or easier set, can again change up the whole complexion of that particular slot, right? So I would say that I would rather go in absolutely and deal with the paper that I have than, so it is me and the paper. So that is a unique combination. So you are unique and that paper is unique, and you're trying to extrapolate that from another person and from another slot. You might thinking this person is similar to me, this slot is similar to that slot. I feel that the margins are very small, so I wouldn't look at it. I hope this whole audio more or less covered what you would need to do on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, those who stay the calmest, they are the ones who would ensure that they will succeed. Right. We've seen that in sport as well. The people who are absolutely calm and stay absolutely focused for the duration of, the 3 hours. So stay in that mode. I would say that you should stay in that mode right from Friday. Right from Friday, you should be in a mode where you're not talking much with people. You're conserving as much energy as you can, and you are in that mode. It's a state of, say, alertness and calmness, and not necessarily dissipating your energy, and not necessarily getting into any sort of not expending a lot of energy. So stay calm, absolutely, during the run up to the 3 days. Tell yourself that you're a monk. Right. Tell yourself that you're a monk. I think those of you who are from the south, and I don't know if any time you have worn that, taken that pilgrimage to Sabarimala, as to how whenever people go on a pilgrimage or do that, they go into that monk mode, right? Or people, if there are other fasts, so Hindus, if you've done, say, Sabarimala or something of that, or any other fast, go into that mode, right? Or Christians, if you've done any of the things for Lent or Easter, if you've done that fast or going into that monk mode, do that, right? For Muslims, if you've done a Ramadan fast, go into that mode, not necessarily in terms of not eating, but going into that mode where you're completely in control of yourself and trying to, say, not be your usual hyper whatever self, where you're more gathered. I hope this audio was useful, and I hope that because it's percentile, some people will win out and some people will lose out. That's how things are. But I hope that the people who will win out and do well are the people who've been following my blog, the IMS students, and anybody else who's watching this
audio.
So I can be that selfish, right? I can be a bit selfish in hoping that all of my students, directly or indirectly, are the ones who do well on the CAT. All the very best for Sunday. You guys will be fine. Thank you.